From Void News, April 3. U.S. and Israeli strikes inside Iran. Oil tops $110. Trump fires his attorney general. Artemis II leaves Earth's orbit.
Pam Bondi's replacement, Todd Blanche, was Trump's personal defense lawyer in the federal criminal cases. That's the paper trail on this one.
Start with the tariffs, because the pharmaceutical order touches every allied capital simultaneously. Trump signed an executive order Thursday imposing tariffs of up to 100% on patented drug imports and associated pharmaceutical ingredients.
The generic exemption is the tell. Generic drugs, the ones most Americans actually fill, are excluded. The 100% rate lands on branded, patented medicines. That's where the margin is, and that's where the cost gets passed.
Australia's health minister said Friday the country will not remove consumer price protections in response. That's a direct refusal to absorb the tariffs' downstream pressure.
India is the other pressure point. Foreign institutional investors have been pulling nearly $1 billion a day out of Indian equity markets since July 2024. The tariff uncertainty on pharmaceuticals, India's largest export sector to the U.S., compounds that.
The stated rationale is reducing import reliance and rebuilding domestic manufacturing. The evidence on that timeline? Pharmaceutical plants take 7 to 10 years to permit and build in the United States.
So the cost is immediate. Higher drug prices, capital flight from emerging markets, and the benefit, if it materializes, is a decade out. The math on who bears the interim cost is not ambiguous.
And the allies are already moving. The tariff order lands the same week Trump is threatening to leave NATO, and the same week Keir Starmer convenes 35 nations, without the U.S., to negotiate Strait of Hormuz access diplomatically.
Starmer called it explicitly, "This is not our war." 35 nations in a room, no American seat at the table. That's not a diplomatic snub, that's contingency architecture. Now Bondi. Trump removed her Thursday, less than 14 months into her tenure, making her the second cabinet member fired in the second term. Blanche's denial on Fox News was specific. The Epstein files were not the reason. He did not say what the reason was.
The High Court handed the Justice Department a series of setbacks in recent weeks. Bondi was the face of those losses. Blanche, as interim, has no Senate confirmation exposure. He can act without a confirmation vote.
Epstein survivors told The Independent they view the firing as karma, but don't trust the motive. That's the credibility gap the administration now has to manage.
Iran. U.S. oil is at $110 a barrel. Trump addressed the nation April 2nd, declared the U.S. had decimated Iran's military and economy, and promised weeks more bombing.
Iran launched missiles at Israel and Gulf states on April 3rd. Explosions were reported over Tehran and Isfahan. The parliamentary speaker told Trump to bring it on.
United Airlines raised checked bag fees $10 to $50 Friday, the second U.S. carrier this week. The Daily Mail attributed it directly to fuel costs from the Iran conflict. United gave no stated reason.
The dollar gained after Trump's speech set no clear ceasefire timeline. Markets are pricing a prolonged conflict, not a resolution.
Pete Hegseth removed Army Chief of Staff Randy George and two additional senior officers, General David Hodnay and Major General William Gritt, on April 3rd. Senior Army officers are described as angry.
Min Aung Hlaing was elected Myanmar's president Friday by a parliament dominated by his army-backed party. 5 years after the coup, the general now holds civilian title. Western governments called the election a sham.
South Korea advanced deployment of its domestic missile interceptor, described as Iron Dome-like, to 2029. President Lee Jae-ming meets rival party leaders next week, specifically to discuss the Middle East crisis. Artemis II executed its translunar injection burn Thursday. 4 astronauts, 3 Americans, 1 Canadian, are beyond Earth's orbit for the first time since 1972. All systems nominal.
The crew is described as glued to the windows. 10-day mission. The one vector today pointing outward rather than inward.
The connecting line across all of it. The institutions designed to absorb shocks. Alliances, legal structures, military chains of command, pharmaceutical supply chains are being restructured faster than replacement frameworks can form.
And the market knows it. $110 oil, $1 billion daily capital outflows from India, 35 nations meeting without Washington. The price of that gap is already being quoted.
This was Void News.
Now, Void Opinion, through a progressive lens today. The Strait of Hormuz is the world's hostage now. U.S. oil crossed $110 a barrel on Friday. Sit with that number for a moment. not as a market data point, but as a measure of accumulated consequence. 5 weeks of war compressed into a single barrel, and every economy on Earth is now paying the premium. Here is the mechanism we need to follow, because the mechanism is everything. Iran launches missiles at Israel, at Gulf neighbors. American and Israeli aircraft strike back, hitting Tehran, hitting Isfahan. The conflict enters its fifth week with no ceasefire framework, no defined endpoint, no diplomatic architecture visible to the outside world. And then a national address from Washington. We will continue to strike. No timetable, no condition for stopping. Just a commitment, open-ended, to more of the same. Markets read that correctly. Wall Street's session on Friday was not panic. It was the rational pricing of a conflict that its own architects have declined to bound. But here is the detail that has not received the weight it deserves. Iran warned the UN Security Council against provocative action regarding the Strait of Hormuz. 20% of the world's traded oil moves through that 33-kilometer channel. Tehran has not closed it. Not yet. But the warning is a hand placed on the valve. And every day this conflict continues without a framework for ending it, that hand tightens. The one international body with the formal mandate to prevent exactly this kind of escalation has been told, in diplomatic language, to stand back. That is not a footnote. That is the load-bearing wall of this crisis. We want to take the counter-argument seriously, because it is serious. Iran's missile launches were not symbolic gestures. They struck at Israel and at Gulf states simultaneously, a coordinated escalation that left the targeted governments with genuine obligations to their populations. The logic of deterrence is real. We are not arguing that military response was irrational.
But deterrence and strategy are not the same thing. A strategy has an endpoint. A strategy has conditions. What would need to be true for the shooting to stop? What we have instead is an open vow to continue, delivered to a domestic audience, with no off-ramp offered and none apparently sought. And the cost of that absence lands, with remarkable precision, on the people furthest from the rooms where these decisions are made. Households in Nairobi, fuel depots in Jakarta, food supply chains in Bogota. They do not vote in Washington or Jerusalem. They do not set Iranian foreign policy. They fill tanks, run generators, move grain. At $110 a barrel, all of that becomes harder. The Global South imports more than 60% of its energy. It holds none of the veto power in the Security Council. It absorbs the inflation, the supply shocks, the currency pressure, and it waits. We have watched this pattern before. Military action justified in the short term, economic damage distributed globally and distributed permanently, the populations bearing the cost given no seat at the table. 5 weeks in, with oil at $110 and the Strait under implicit threat, the gap between who decides and who pays is widening in real time. The missiles and the airstrikes are visible. That gap is the story. And the question we cannot answer tonight, the one that should be keeping every finance minister and every logistics director and every central banker awake, is not whether the strait gets closed. It is who exactly is going to ask Iran not to close it, and whether anyone left in this conflict still has the standing to ask. This was Void Opinion.